This is Packer and Durham on ACCN and SiriusXM Channel 371.
I mean, thanks to Ed Rittenberg, who joined us in hour number one.
Off campus this afternoon for you. You're going to dive right back in, aren't you?
Yeah.
Big 3-hour show.
We're back to work, and we'll see how that goes. But there was no way in the world I could have done any kind of show on Wednesday, Thursday of last week. I mean, I had no voice for about a week and a half. I mean, no voice.
Didn't sound great. Didn't sound like you were hitting all the octaves, quite frankly, last week.
Still not. Yeah. But we've gotten better every day, really since Thursday, which is good. And hopefully the appetite comes back, and we can help the economy. So
it looked like you've not the way you want to do it. Looked like you've taken a few pounds off.
Yeah, I lost
you
about 20. I lost about 20.
Sure did.
I did. Sure did.
All right. How you feeling this morning? We're doing okay? Back in the show? You're enjoying yourself?
You know, I mean, after being in the same bed for 2.5 weeks every single day, I mean, seriously, Tuesday felt no different than Saturday.
Yeah.
And, you know, you can't talk. You're just weak and brutal. It's good to be upwards. I mean, upright. And you got the dogs down here in the basement. And so we're good. You know, we're slowly but surely we'll get back to going 100%.
How's your knee, by the way? How's the knee doing? How's that knee feel?
Knee's not great.
Knee's not great. Okay, good.
I got one good knee, one bad knee. And you know, it's just all part of being old, man. It's what happens. It gets old.
All right.
You know, but I will say this, though. San Francisco Giants are still in first place.
Oh, my gosh.
I'm just saying. I mean, it didn't get old watching, you know, beating the Dodgers every week. Last 2 weeks ago, took 3 out of 4 there, took 2 out of 3 against them this week. Just got done beating up on the Astros. That ain't gotten old. I got to tell you, keeps you going, man. Living vicariously through your teams.
Can I – I want you to be kind, though, to Josh Macri, because the Red Sox just got swept by Tampa Bay.
That's all right.
Yeah.
I'm not worried about the American League.
All right. Let's tell you – We've got a few things coming up here in the last hour. We're going to start the hour with this, though, Mark. And one of the things we've kind of talked about, we just mentioned it with Boston College, these trap games that are out there for the ACC. There's 6 of them here, okay, that we want to kind of run through. And, you know, we'll look a little more as we get closer to kickoff, but there's 6 that are kind of pronounced out there. One is early for BC. We mentioned the BC, you know, they get Missouri on September 25th, and then we said that first Saturday in October they get Clemson on the road. Well, and then behind that they play NC State. So what does Missouri on the 25th become? Really important is what it does. Because the next two, for sure, I'm going to tell you something about Louisville now. A lot of stuff going on about Louisville. Cards feeling pretty frisky about where they're going to be maybe this season. So you like BC Missouri as a trap game for Jeff Hafley in year two?
I like the game because, it seems bizarre. But to me, Missouri and the SEC kind of reminds me of Boston College and the ACC. It's one of those teams. It's not going to get a ton of love. You know, they're not going to be the sexy pick. They're not going to be the team everybody's buzzing about. But I think it's a great matchup for really both sides to kind of figure out where they are in that big picture. And if you're BC and you take care of your business, you know, it sets the stage for October with, hey, Clemson and NC State. I mean, that to me, if you're going to tell me, give me the 3 teams in the Atlantic, it will be Clemson, Boston College, and NC State. In my opinion, are the 3 best teams. So it sets the stage, and you can't be looking down the road going, oh, my God, we go to Death Valley next week to see the Tigers. Hey, you got to go take care of the other Tigers. That'd be Missouri. Mm-hmm. So a really fun ACC-SEC matchup, one that will probably fly underneath the radar versus all the other marquee ones like you've got with Miami and Bama and Clemson, Georgia, et cetera, et cetera. That one is a really, really important game, actually, for both of them.
Yeah. Well, let me remind you, BC fans. Now, this is an entirely different administration light years ago, seemingly. But remember now, you've had moments where you've started the season pretty well, and then all of a sudden some, you know, nondescript other Power 5 team comes to town and doesn't go well. Right, Pac?
Yeah, well, even a game like Boston College Purdue a couple years ago, you were thinking about BC, thinking, all right, man, BC's got something going. Hey, one of them, they just stunk. I mean, they just stunk it up. Purdue slapped them all over the yard. Kansas, right?
That's the one. I mean, That's the one.
You don't lose to Kansas unless it's in basketball. And, you know, Les Miles rolled in there, and they just beat them sideways. And, in fact, I remember watching that score going, what in the world is happening in Chestnut Hill? So,
right.
You're exactly right, Wes. You start looking. Yeah. If you're BC, you're like, man, I really kind of like it. We're excited, upbeat. Things are good. We've got the quarterback. We got pieces in place. Man, we got Clemson and NC State first two games in October. Can't fast forward the clock. That Missouri game will be a big deal.
All right. Next on the trap game list, Pittsburgh. Now, I may have to wait a while to get to this one. We'll see how the schedule plays out. But early November at the fabled Horseshoe on the West Campus in Durham now, you have back-to-back games, Clemson, Miami. You play Carolina 5 days later. And there sits Duke. Oh, by the way, at Virginia Tech, prior to Clemson, Miami, too, is no cup of tea.
Well, there's that stretch of five games right there, and you just rattled through the schedule, and it starts with a road trip to Virginia Tech. Of all those five teams, the one that doesn't seem like it belongs is Duke, and you can't sleep on it, right? You're going to be sky high when you play Clemson. You'll be sky high when you play Miami and Virginia Tech and North Carolina, all huge games. But you can't fall asleep at Wallace Wade Outdoor Stadium. Because let me tell you something, it is easy to do that, Wes. It's happened before.
Yes,
teams come rolling into Wallace Wade Outdoor, and you got this sleepy game. Guys out there blowing those horns, and you know, you're like, oh, man, we got to walk 2 miles to get to the halftime. You got to be ready to roll. So, yeah, this one, without question, when you look at Pitt's schedule, that stretch from, you know, mid to late October into early November, that's the one you can't fall asleep at. Can't do
it. All right. Here's one more that we'll offer to you. Another Coastal team. And this is a non-conference game this year. Last year it was a conference game, and it was a shootout. But this year, North Carolina plays Wake Forest in a non-conference game, also on November the 6th. Funny how we're getting November 6th games coming up here. We've already told you how big October 16th is, but North Carolina plays Wake Forest November the 6th. They will have played Miami and Notre Dame. Okay? They get Wake Forest and then Pittsburgh the following week on the road. And who knows, Pac, based on that Miami game, that Pitt game could be for the Coastal. And, oh, by the way, there's Wake Forest, who's been a thorn for the Tar Heels.
Yeah, there'll be a big deal with Notre Dame game, right? I mean, you can almost feel this one coming as far as the hype and the potential for what North Carolina can do this year. They've owned Miami. That's why I keep going back when people start going, all right, you got to pick between North Carolina and Miami. Hey, until Miami figures out a way to beat North Carolina, I got to see it to believe it. But yeah, that back-to-back combination of Miami and Notre Dame. And if you're North Carolina and things are as good as you anticipate them to be, you better not look past the Demon Deacs. No doubt about it. Those folks in Switzerland now, they'll be excited to see you in Switzerland.
Yep. Yes, they will be. How about Miami themselves in a trap game? November 6th against Georgia Tech, coming off a three-game stretch in their schedule, with both North Carolina schools in Pittsburgh, and then all of a sudden, the Ramblin' Wreck returns to Coral Gables, or actually the Hard Rock, for the ball game on November 6th. The way that one fits.
Yeah, you've done this game before where all of a sudden you're going, holy mackerel, Jeff Collins is partying like a rock star. Miami, to me, is like the ultimate wild card in this league. Right. It just seems like if it all falls into place, they could have a dynamic monster year, double digit wins, the whole deal. But they've always had that crazy, you know, fake left, go right, where you all of a sudden you're not exactly sure what am I watching. The Canes are an interesting lot, and it will start in week one when they see Alabama. And regardless of what happens there, I'm just going to tell you, Appalachian State to me jumps off the page, and so does Michigan State. I mean, so the Canes are going to have to be ready to roll. So huge expectations. De'Aaron King sounds like he's 100% ready to roll. Looked like $1 million at the ACC kickoff. But Miami is always a fascinating conversation.
Virginia Tech, November 13 against Duke, trap game, sandwiched between road games against Boston College and Miami.
I got to be honest with you. I would go earlier than November 13th. To me, for Virginia Tech, game one is a monster. So is game three. The fact that Virginia Tech and West Virginia, and by the way, they don't like each other. And I love the fact that they're going to play Morgantown, the place to be. Neil Brown's going to have a really good club this year, in my opinion. The Notre Dame game, and there's week five. I mean, we're going to know about the Hokies quickly, aren't we? And the fact that that schedule is so front-loaded with home games, you almost wonder, hey, you're going to determine whether or not you're legit or not. And if you can't get off to a great start, I do worry about four of the last five on the road. That is a problem. So a really bizarre schedule for Virginia Tech.
Yeah, it is. And they're one of several teams that either have a front-loaded home side or a front-loaded road side. It's the way it kind of fell this year in the ACC. There are five or six teams that play a dominant amount of games either at home or on the road, and one way or the other in their schedule. It's just one of those things that happens. Last one on this list. And again, I'm a little bit with you on this. I think this is late. I think there are a couple different versions of this for NC State. The one we'll showcase here is a conference game, November 20th against Syracuse. We all remember how last year ended, right? Culpepper running around, then, you know, was going to spike this, should have spiked it, didn't spike it. But NC State gets Syracuse and Raleigh, sandwiched between a road game at Wake and heading into Carolina on 6 days. Now, that's late in the year. I could go back and pinpoint, how are we looking at Mississippi State? How we look at, you know, some of those other ones? To me, the start for the Wolfpack in those first three is critical, because then you kind of have some scenarios play out where I think you can build. I know what they mean by Syracuse here, but the back end with Florida State, Wake, and then Carolina behind Louisville and Miami, yeah, okay, I see it, but I see the front end just as much, Mark.
Yeah, I think the front end for me is the one that jumps out at me. 9-11 at Mississippi State, ACC, SEC. There were some crazy FPIs that had Mississippi State in the top 10, which I don't really understand. But nevertheless, we have a chance to go see this thing. If NC State is as good as they expect to be, that to me is the game that they will make a statement, where they go to Stark Vegas and play Mississippi State. If you are that kind of team, you got to take it on the road and win in an SEC environment. And that to me sets the stage for Clemson in late September. But to me, no disrespect to Syracuse in November. We'll get to November for NC State. September in Stark Vegas is a big deal.
Just, you know, Mark, it feels like that you've got that ball game. You've got Illinois at Virginia. You've got Rutgers at Syracuse. We mentioned BC, Missouri. I mean, it just feels like we've got a handful of games in the first 3 weeks to go back to something you talked about at the top. Who's going to join Clemson? Who's going to stay in the fight, right? And nationally, for the league to get in the fight, you got to win those games early.
Right.
You got to find a way to say, okay, Boston College, look, you're probably better than Missouri. You need to show that. Pittsburgh goes to Tennessee week two, Pack.
Yep.
September 11th, right, after they play UMass. Hey, Pittsburgh, you're better than Tennessee. NC State, I think you're better than Mississippi State. Go prove it. Go win the game and kind of set this thing on, you know? I mean, I just think those are really, really important ball games from a branding perspective of ACC football.
Right. And, you know, if you're going to change the narrative of your conference, and this is true whether we're talking about the ACC, the Big 12, you fill in the blank.
Yeah.
The only way you change the narrative is to win.
Yeah.
And it's like I started the show today talking about how crazy people reacted with Oklahoma and Texas joining the SEC, which I thought was a great move for the SEC and great for those schools. And everybody screamed, oh, my God, what's the ACC going to have to do? They're going to have to go get – no, the ACC needs to go win games. Mm. You know what? You know, Miami-Bama, you know what? Don't lose by 50.
Yeah.
Georgia-Clemson. I mean, the Tigers don't have to prove anything. I mean, it's a great game. You know, Notre Dame-Florida State. Virginia Tech, North Carolina. I mean, there are games right out of the gate where you get a chance to change the narrative of your league. Yeah. And the only way to do it, it's not going to have anything to do with me and you saying, hey, I think, you know, NC State's better than Mississippi State. Hey, you got to go win the game. And the only way you change the conversation about, boy, I tell you, ACC's pretty good this year. Yeah, you know why? Because I did just watch NC State knock off Mississippi State. I saw BC knock off Missouri. You know, I saw Clemson beat Georgia. I saw Alabama and Miami have a heck of a game. I saw Virginia Tech, North Carolina. Anybody could have. That is how you change the narrative of a league. And right. So when everybody starts screaming about expansion and, man, you need to add Cincinnati or, hey, bring in West Virginia. No. I mean, you can if you want. But yeah. The only way that changes is, number one, you got Notre Dame. You have to deal with those guys. And number two, you need to go win games. And yeah. It's no different than Notre Dame football. I mean, they don't want to hear about the fact that, hey, I haven't won a major bowl game since the early 90s. You get blown out. Hey, the only way that narrative changes is if you get into the college football playoff and you actually win a game. That changes. You know, I kidded around about Oklahoma and Texas. They're great teams, great brands. But you know what? Chester, Fuller, me and you have won as many college football playoff games as Oklahoma and Texas.
Yeah.
That would be zero. So, I mean, again, the narrative is always interesting. What people's the perception of, the only way to change that is to win games, period.
You're right. That's and by the way, I'll throw Illinois, Virginia on that list too, week two. Right? That's an 11 a.m. start on ACC Network. That's the kind of game, too.
Kind of
you got Brett Bielema's first year. You got to deliver a message if you're Virginia.
Exactly right.
Branding of the league. Over-under still to come. Bottom of the hour, by the way, Pack. We wanted to welcome you back and get you in an over-under kind of thing. We got to get that done. When we come back, though, I tweeted this. I got a problem. I really do. And if we can fix all this other stuff, we can fix this, okay? And for the life of me, I can't figure out why we haven't fixed it. Back after this.
The Packer and Durham Podcast. Here's Mark Packer and Wes Durham.
Packer and Durham on a Monday. 844-SAY-ACCN is the number for the program. A little over and under coming up here in about 10 or 15 minutes. But, Mr. Durham, it's my understanding that there is something that is bothering you.
Well, I mean, this hit me Friday, okay? And I went back and double-checked all this before I put it out on social media. You know, we had the NBA draft on Thursday night, Pack. I know you were locked in.
I was.
Like the Hornets moves, by the way. Drew and I were very, very complimentary of kind of where MJ's got the Hornets going.
A-plus moves, no question.
Yeah.
Yep.
I mean, I'm telling you now, we might have to be feet on the floor again down there later this year.
Only for the Sacramento game.
No, we're not going to Sacramento again.
That's the
we're
only team.
No.
If I have to be found at a Hornets game, and
no.
You're going to force me to go, I will go for the Sacramento game. It's a tradition.
No. Hey, my son asked me this weekend if you'd be interested in going to a game there this year after they took Boat Night and all these Sharif Cooper.
I just told him.
Whoever, and I said, we're not going to Sacramento again.
Why? That was a W.
Because we already saw Sacramento. We're going to go see somebody else if we go.
It was a W. Can we go see the Hawks? Maybe Jalen will quit by the time we get to the game?
Stop. All right. So here we go. I noticed this on Friday, and I went back and looked it up when I started to see some of the transaction stuff involving ACC players, right? And we touched on this a little bit Friday because some of the free agent stuff after the draft was coming out, right? Pack. All five first team, all ACC players went undrafted.
Right.
On Thursday.
True.
They all signed free agent deals, okay? And here's the tweet I put out.
True.
And I've gotten to a point on this where it really bothers me. I mean, it's one choice, and it can cost a kid. Because let me tell you, the free agent deal, the two-way, all that stuff, it's fine. Yes, you're playing in the summer league in Vegas in a week or so, and it's going to be fine. But you didn't get drafted, okay? So last night, the Mets and Kumar Rocker couldn't reach an agreement, okay? So Kumar Rocker has a chance to go back to Vanderbilt if he wants to. Why can't these five kids, if Matthew Hurt doesn't want to go to Houston, Moses Wright doesn't want to go to Toronto, Sam Hauser doesn't want to go to Boston, why can't these kids come back and play one more year of college basketball? We got name, image, and likeness. We got all this other stuff in play. How in the world are we not letting these kids have the opportunity to come back and play one more year of college basketball? We got NIL. They can make a few dollars there. I mean, how are we not doing that in this world we're in now?
Well, a couple things here. Number one, aren't you held responsible for decisions that you make? Number one.
No doubt. I totally get it. Yeah.
All right. So, you know, somebody whispered in your ear to say, hey, listen, guess what? We think you're going to be a first round pick. Maybe you'll fall in the second round. Unfortunately, some of these guys don't get picked at all. Until you can figure out a way to make the world in which you can say these guys can come back and there's scholarships available and it doesn't screw up the team, I don't know how you do that, though, Wes. I mean, how do you – is there a way to do that? Because if so, knock yourself out. But otherwise, I'm not aware of it.
Well, here's the difference in baseball. And I had a lot of people react to me about baseball. First of all, baseball's not full scholarship. We all know that, right? It's 11.5 or some deal like that, a number of scholarships. You got a fraction up. Some guys do get full scholarships. Others don't. I understand that. I mean, but in basketball, with all the stuff we're doing, I mean, we're giving away free years at the NCAA office during the pandemic, and now all of a sudden we got guys playing 6 years of college football. If you've got like a holdover, and now again, I know this is a roster management problem, again, on 13 scholarships.
Right.
But there's got to be a way to help these kids. I mean, and yes, you have to be responsible for your decisions, Pac. But good heavens. I mean, we've seen a lot of really good college. And the college basketball product could use those five guys back, by the way, next year.
That I agree with that part. You need more players. There's no question. But let me ask you, Wes, of the five kids, how many do you think, if we lined them up right now and said, listen, if you wanted to, we're going to snap our fingers and you could go back to college, how many would say yes?
Without talking to them individually, I'm going to wager I think a couple of the five would. Yeah, I do.
I think guys get told things and they reach this point where, hey, you know what, college, fake left, go right, been there, done that, down the road we go, and with the hopefulness of that they're going to get picked in the first round, possibly the second. And when it doesn't happen, I think guys mentally have kind of moved on. They're ready to get paid.
All right. I do. All right. I'll give you that. But here's the other thing, too. Let me tell you the worst thing that's happened in college basketball is this notion that you're too old. You got to go pro because you can't wait till your junior or senior year because you get too old.
Right.
Really? Whoever crafted that junk? That's ridiculous.
It may be, but you know what? It's how that world works. Unfortunately, it does.
Well,
and
look,
people are told that, guess what? You've got to start the process in terms of your first contract so you can get to the second. And the sooner you can start that, the better. Now, I'm not saying it's right, wrong, or indifferent, but that is the real world of hoops. And unfortunately, well, college basketball has suffered from it.
Well, when you're playing for, you know, somebody in the B League in Cyprus, or you're playing for, and the B League, I mean the B division of basketball in Cyprus, or you're playing for somebody in New Zealand in a gym no bigger than your middle school. But, you know, I mean, here's the
Wes,
other thing, too.
Here's the problem, though. When that individual's playing for Bangladesh, you know what? He never thought he was going to play for Bangladesh. When he was playing for an ACC team or a college team, and somebody whispered in his ear, hey, guess what, man, you're ready for the NBA. You know, he goes. Yeah. I mentioned Jalen Johnson, the second ago, kidding around before he quit at Duke. You know, he quit the tryout stuff. I was like, I mean, come on, dude. At some point in time, you've got to go play and prove your worth. Right. I don't care what you were coming out of high school. That doesn't mean squat to me. You can give me McDonald's All-Americas all you want. You got to prove your worth. So all those players you mentioned, that they all thought they were going to be selected. They made a decision. Guess what? I've enjoyed college. I'm now ready to go and become a professional basketball player.
All right. I'm going to tell you when I started, really, I can remember the first player that it really bothered me that this guy turned pro and didn't get drafted because I thought he could have benefited from coming back. And you're going to know exactly who I'm talking about. Is Scottie Thurman of Arkansas, who hit the game winner to beat Duke in Charlotte in the 94 Final Four. And Scottie Thurman went pro that year, and he didn't get drafted. Now, he ended up getting a cup of coffee in the league or something like that. But every year since then, it's really bothered me that these kids make this decision to walk off on an education. Well, now, with the combination of name, image, and likeness and NCAA reconstruction and all this other stuff, we ought to be able to correct this. And we're not correcting it. And I think it would benefit the college game, which needs help. Certainly, we got people in place. I mean, Adam Silver, you've been with him. You know how smart he is and how much he likes the college game. And the NBA's got the college game in a good place, right? I mean, look, two of the top picks didn't go to college. They went to G League Ignite. So if you feel like you've got that much presence and they're going to let you come there, then they're probably putting you in a situation to get drafted like those two kids, right? Kuminga and Jalen Green. So you take that, you go forward. But if you're a first-team All-ACC player and somebody's telling you you're going to get drafted and it doesn't work out, I think you ought to have the ability to come back. Look, Adam Silver, Grant Hill, and Dan Gavitt. I'll put that on y'all's plate. Three of you guys ought to be able to get that figured out.
Yeah, but Wes, if you're the NBA, you're going to get the best players. The NBA shouldn't be concerned about college basketball. They're going to get – the object is, hey, at the end of the day, we get the best players. College Hoops needs to figure out some kind of flexibility plan. And in case, you know what, you take a deep dive and it doesn't work out, is there an option for you to come back, assuming
that's exactly
you
what
want
you
to come back? I don't know the answer to that.
Well – I mean, I wish all those kids, Justin Champagne, Matthew Hurt, Moses Wright, Sam Hauser, all of them, wish you the best of luck.
Right.
Man, Friday stunk. I hate that day. All right, when we come back, over and under, I'm through. That'll be my rant for the week. Over and under when we come back. Interesting questions coming up here. Josh Macri at the wheel of the Packer and Durham program next on ACCN.
Packer and Durham. This is the Packer and Durham podcast.
Packer and Durham on a Monday. It'll be August the 2nd. And time for a little over and under, Mr. Durham. It means we're going to Bristol, Connecticut.
Aha, your boys. Your boys are back, Pack.
Yep.
They've been in charge now. They've been doing a hell of a job here for the last month. 2 weeks of vacation, 2 weeks back on. Josh Macri, ladies and gentlemen, at the wheel here for another edition of Packer and Durham's Over and Under. Mr. Macri, good morning.
Good morning, Pack. Good to see you.
Good seeing you, Mr. Macri. Voice
back to your
of victory.
Fighting weight. Yeah.
I don't know about that now. Fighting weight, I got about 25 pounds of barbecue I need to get caught up on.
Oh my gosh. Yeah. that start at 10:01 today?
I don't think so.
No?
I don't think I'm quite ready for the I'm hoping by the time we go to Raleigh, from today, and Tuffy makes his appearance on the set with us, and maybe some of the locals here in Raleigh can bring us some good barbecue because they've got it. I think that's about it. I'm not sure I'm ready for barbecue yet. I don't think I'm ready for it yet.
Well, when you're ready, we'll be there for you.
Okay, appreciate that.
Let's get to a little over-under today. First one has to do with your alma mater pack, Clemson.
Uh-oh. Oh, boy.
Over-under 4.5 true road wins for the Tigers this season. They have gone undefeated on the road in 4 of the last 6 years. Keep in mind, true road games, not neutral sites.
Got it. I'm going over. They're going to be really good. They're going to be loaded, and I'm going to go over.
You know what? 4.5 over. Okay. October 23rd, September 25th, kids. That's all I got for you. I had a brief pause on those two games. So there you go. I'll go over.
They will be double-digit favorites in every one of those games on the road.
Well, no question about that. I'm just thinking. Okay, all right. Next up, let's go.
Of everything either of you have said all show today, Clemson's going to be really good is really the one that really stands out as the hottest take we've heard in quite some time. Clemson, going to be really good.
I got to tell you, the hottest take I heard was, I'm ready to eat 25 pounds of barbecue.
He's not ready to. Yeah,
I am not ready for that.
Out of his repertoire.
I'm not ready to eat 25 pounds of barbecue.
I am not ready for that assignment. It's not ready yet. No.
All right, guys, next question. It is the year of the quarterback in the ACC. We know that. So, will there be over or under 5 quarterbacks with 20 or more passing touchdowns this season? Surprisingly, only 4 have done it in each of the last 2 years.
Yeah. This goes back to that 3,000-yard question last week, too. Nice job, Macri.
That's a good question.
This was a Drew question, by the way. Credit where it's due.
Okay. I'll take over. I'll take over on this.
Man, that is a good question. I'm going to go under. I'll go opposite of it.
God, really?
Yeah, I'm going to go opposite. And I'll tell you why. I was influenced by only 4 reached 20 last year. I would not have guessed that. I would have been wrong.
Fewer games, but only 4 in 2019, too. Last year, see, I throw last year out because they're going to play 12 games this year. But the 4 in 2019, but I still think with the firepower the league's got at that position, I still think you're going to get more than 5.
Passing touchdowns is the key.
Yeah.
Passing touchdowns.
I got you.
See, I think we got some dudes that are going to score on the ground. I'm still going to go under.
All right.
Because you think about guys who can flat sling it, right? Howell slings it. Pickett slings it. Jurkovic slings it.
That's 3.
That's what I'm saying. Now, all right, so where's the other 2?
DJU.
Okay.
Tommy DeVito.
I'm going under.
I think Garrett Schrader. Garrett Schrader, Tommy DeVito? We put those 2 together, right? That if we get more than 20.
Sam Hartman
slings it. Devin Leary with all his weapons.
I'm sure you don't want to go over? No, hey, I'm going to go under. But we need to come back to that. That's a good question. That's excellent.
It is a good question. And some trivia here. I know you love trivia, Pack.
I do.
What is Kenny Pickett's season high for touchdowns throughout the course of his career?
I have no idea.
This courtesy of my compadre here, Drew. 13 is Kenny Pickett's season high in touchdown passes at any point in his career over the course of a season.
Really?
13.
Wow, I'd have been wrong about that too. Well, I tell you, you guys are doing excellent work during my illness. excellent work.
Coincidence?
Probably.
We talked about Clemson on the road earlier. Now let's talk about teams at home. Over under 1.5 of them that will finish the season unbeaten on their home turf. Two teams did it last year, Clemson and Notre Dame. Of course, Notre Dame doesn't apply this year.
They do not, and I'm going over. Over.
I, too, will go over here.
I think Clemson and North Carolina, or there's two right there that I think are going to be really hard to beat at third place.
Yeah, I agree with that. I think Boston College has a friendly home schedule, by the way.
Possible.
Could be an interesting candidate.
How about Wallace Wade Outdoor Stadium? You going there?
No.
We had all those trap games earlier this hour at Wallace Wade Outdoor. you're not giving me that one?
No. Okay. No. No. I'll go over. I'll go over the 1.5.
How about the folks in Switzerland?
Wake Forest?
Yeah. How about the Swiss?
Florida State, Louisville, Duke, NC State.
Okay.
Old Dominion, Norfolk State to start. Maybe, yeah. I mean, possible. But I'm gonna go. I'll go 2. I'm not gonna go 1. I'll go over the 1.5. Let's do that.
I think it's more than 1.5.
Okay.
Opinion.
There you go.
I agree.
All right. Next.
All right, guys. Everyone is very excited for Carolina and Virginia Tech. Remember back to last year. When the Heels beat the Hokies 56-45.
Yeah.
Of course, a shootout. So, begs the question, over under 100 points scored when they match up this season?
Under.
Under. Not even under. Close. Not even close.
Not even sure it'll be 80.
Tell you what, there's going to be 66,000.
Oh.
That's what I know.
Yep.
Points?
Nope.
People.
Hokie
yeah.
people. And that place is going to be spectacular.
Yep.
And the fact that Virginia Tech last year played in front of 1,000 people, those Hokie fans, man, they are ready. They're lathered up and ready to go this afternoon, if necessary.
Yeah.
So that will be great. Now, North Carolina's going to be fun to watch. And Virginia Tech's got a lot to prove, and it's going to be a great environment on a Friday night.
Yep. The kick is at 6 o'clock. I'll say by 9:30 in the morning, there'll be a degree of intensity already starting to build at Lane Stadium. I mean, 9:30 in the morning, there'll be a parking lot somewhere where somebody's having brunch.
Yep.
Let's put it that way.
Yep. I'd kind of like to be at that game. I know that's physically probably not possible given the radio show in the afternoon and what we're going to be doing. Because the day before, we're going to be in Raleigh, right?
What do you mean? What do you mean not physically? I mean, first of all, you've got credit everywhere in the footprint of the league, okay? That's number one. Number two, you could go from Raleigh back to Charlotte, do the afternoon radio show. If we're there for Packer and Durham on Friday, fine. If not, you could still make... You know, you could still make Blacksburg by 6 o'clock. You can do the show from up there somewhere. I got Rick Watson's got a show up there, and they got a radio station up there. They got plenty of places. Virginia Tech's got a studio on campus. They'd probably be able to hook you up with something. I mean, we can get that done. You could be there.
I like Blacksburg. I like going to Blacksburg. Mrs. P likes going to Blacksburg.
Well, she's a Hokie. So there you go.
That'd be a good spot. That'd be a fun time Friday night there.
Whew. Yeah. You could stop at the Snappy Lunch in Mount Airy and get a pork chop sandwich on the way up the hill if you had to.
Yeah, I think I might be ready for a pork chop sandwich by Friday heading into Labor Day weekend. I'll get the appetite back, get the pork chop sandwich.
Josh, anything else before we wrap up over under?
Yes. So we talked earlier about how Tommy DeVito is a prime candidate to throw for over 20 touchdowns this year. But our final question, over under 2.5 different starting quarterbacks for the Syracuse Orange throughout the course of this season.
Under.
Yeah, I agree.
Under. I think Tommy DeVito and Garrett Schrader are the candidates, as Matt Park said last week on the show, for game one. And whichever quarterback does not start will be a very capable backup if the other cannot fulfill the duties and requirements of the starting job. Beyond that, I don't know that that's much in play for the Orange this year. So I'm going to say under.
By the way, Mr. Macri, how would you answer that question being an alum?
Oh, boy. Oh, boy.
I ask the questions.
No. You used to. Now I'm asking the question. As an alum, how would you answer that? You're going over.
Oh, he's up.
Yes, sir.
Oh. Wow.
Voice of victory.
Voice of victory is
because you know the old adage, have three starting quarterbacks, you're going to win a national championship.
Is that the old adage? Is
sure
that right?
Is. Yep.
Oh, okay. Okay, nice. Well done. When we come back, friends, we've got breaking news. Josh, well done on the over-under, by the way. When we come back, we got breaking news for you.
We're
going to share that with you. How about us?
Yeah.
How about us? Big man's back, down 20, looking for 25 pounds of barbecue, and we got a new coach at Clemson. New coach, new sport. Next, Packer and Durham.
The Packer and Durham Podcast. Packer and Durham.
Packer and Durham, final segment of a Monday show, starting off the great month of August, which means football is right around the corner. We all can't wait for that. But, Mr. Durham, as you mentioned, we've actually got some breaking news today on the program.
We sure do. Clemson has just confirmed that Allison Kwolek is going to be the very first head women's lacrosse coach for the Tigers. Competition set to begin for Clemson in 2023. Kwolek has spent the last nine seasons at the University of Richmond, where she amassed a record of 64-16. And our congratulations to Allison Kwolek. We look forward to visiting. Whoa, wait now. Already at the Rock Pack.
Better give 110%. Leave your
Allison.
Filthy hands off that rock. That's how that works down there.
So congratulations to Allison Kwolek, who was Clemson's first ever women's lacrosse head coach. Max Olson, by the way, who's done some really fine work back in some of this realignment and recruiting and roster management and that kind of thing, has just tweeted here this morning, "Didn't you know a new transfer portal cycle started yesterday on August the 1st? So, just so you know, 1,648 FBS scholarship players entered the portal. Now, if all 130 schools had 85 scholarships, they don't. The math on that, and Max did this, not me, so you can, count on its accuracy. 15% of scholarship players went in the portal last year, Pack. 15% of all scholarship football players under the guise that all 130 schools have 85 scholarships, which they don't. The number would actually be a little higher based on scholarship availability. But 15% under that analysis entered the transfer portal.
Well, the key is there a landing spot? And unfortunately for many, as they found out, there isn't. And all of a sudden you look around and you go, what happened to my scholarship? Well, it's gone.
Right.
Grass sometimes is not always greener on that other side. So be careful what you wish for when you enter that transfer portal. Hopefully there's a landing spot for these guys.
Yeah. Thanks to Adam Rittenberg for spending time with us. In case you missed it, it's with Jeff Sims and Phil Jerkovic. Nakai Montgomery set to join us tomorrow, Pack, on the show. Great success in lacrosse, All-America. Now going to play football at Duke this fall. We'll visit with him at 8:30. And good to have you back. How you feeling now? Got through one here? What are you thinking?
I'm thinking I'll be back tomorrow. That's what I'm thinking. It is good to be back. Seriously, after the last couple of weeks, it was goofy, and it was it's no joke. I'll tell you that much. The variant is no joke. So, no, it's good to be back. And, hopefully we'll get a little more energy and start feeling a bit better as the weeks go on and on. But I'm ready for August football. I'm ready for practice. I'm ready to talk football 24/7, 365. And America awaits the start of the 21 college football season.
Yeah, no doubt about that. So great to have you back. Thanks to Josh Macri, Drew Brooks, Christy Velez. Another wonderful show today from you guys. We're back here tomorrow at 7 a.m. Nikai Montgomery joins us. Who knows what else is going to happen? Road trip starts on Wednesday, by the way, at NC State. Looking forward to that coverage for you here on ACC Network. Hope you guys have a great day. Stay safe. Pack's going to be back tomorrow. Boy, is that good news. See you at 7 a.m.
Tune into Packer and Durham weekday mornings from 7 to 10 Eastern for the best conversations about everything from the ACC. Find it on the ACC Network, SiriusXM Channel 371, and streaming on the ESPN app.